Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Good evening and welcome to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. And we are back today, everybody. I want to thank God for another day of being here. I want to say thank you to some people. You've heard their names before. Christina Vera out in Brooklyn as an Uber driver, spreading her cheer, her joy, some happiness to those that are in need. Just making her trips fun. I want to thank my co-host Asia, she'll be in a little bit later. I want to thank Terry Banks, who's always around and can't be here tonight, but he's always there on off the air, giving me some feedback and some support. I want to thank those of you that are out there doing your part to make a community better. And I want to thank all of you that were hanging out with part one of this series today, because apparently this was a subject that kind of got to most mothers and dads out there. And I definitely want to let you know that we here at this station also feel this. And one of the things that tonight is going to be bringing is something that's even more controversial to this. Not controversial, but it's even more disturbing to this problem that's happening. And it's going to be touching on people that's supposed to be helping these laws stay better for us. So tonight, we're going to be going out with a song by that group Untitled, because we got some, we had some requests for a couple of songs last segment, but the conversation got pretty deep, so we weren't able to do it. So to you, Allison, out over there, and where are you, sweetie pie? Oh, Maryland. Okay. We got the song Don't Need No One. That's for you to keep up your friend's head, to let her know that you do have people. We're also going to play Alliance a little bit later down. And after that, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back to get this party started. So tonight, our topic is called Killed by Negligent Safety Laws, Part 2. Part 2 is going to be covering what we call dangerous officials. These are officials of high power that feel, because they're in this high power of this position, they abuse their authority and they feel that they have the right or don't have to disregard the law. They disregard the law, I should say, because they know there's going to be no accountability, no penalties. And because, hey, I am who I am. We're talking about policemen. We're talking about police officers, let's say officers. We're talking about politicians. We're talking about judges. We're talking about people who are in a position of some power that feel like the rules don't apply to them. And as a result, many of them have been caught into incidents that have caused some damage or some fatalities to the community. So with that being said, everybody, here's Don't Need No One by Untitled. We will be back after a word from them and our sponsors. Don't go away.
I'm stuck.
I think that I'm good on my own. I think that I'm better alone. That's what I wanna believe, but I don't know.
I don't know.
Wanna stand on 2 feet, but I lost control.
I lost control.
Can't pull myself out of this darkness. I'm losing hope. No one around me wants to lend a hand. On God, nobody in this world is gonna understand. All the pain that I go through in just one day. It don't matter how I pray, the way I feel won't go away. There was no words that you can say that could fix me. I'm sorry, and I really hope that you can understand. It's me, not you. Yeah, not you.
I wish there was something you can do.
That's true.
All day, all night, every time I cry, I'm stuck, cause I just don't know what to do. I swear I'm done, don't need no one. I'm lost, I'm gone, I've got nothing to lose. All day, all night, every time I cry, I'm stuck, cause I just don't know what to do. I swear I'm done, don't need no one. I'm lost, I'm gone, I've got nothing to lose.
I'm living in a lost world with no guidance.
None.
My emotions, I can't find it. I feel trapped up in this cycle. Part of my mental health's a real battle. No one I tell that's been around me cares about what I'm going through.
None.
Except for my mom and dad, and they still don't understand too.
Yeah.
So once again, I'm by myself and they still can't walk in my shoes. I'm walking down this empty road, no person in sight. The only thing that I'm clinging to is faith that I'll get by. But I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. My shoulders are in too deep.
Deep.
Water's above my knees.
Knees.
Only a little time left before it's my head and I can't breathe.
Yeah. Before it's my head and I can't breathe.
All day, all night, every time I cry, I'm stuck, cause I just don't know what to do. I swear I'm done.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything's straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends. I'm your host, KD Barnett. So let's reiterate. On Friday, we spoke about part one of this two-part series. And this is about the damages that's being done, the fatalities that have happened to kids, adults alike, innocents that have stood by. Because of the gross negligent enforcement of road safety laws. Now, the first part, we centered the catalyst inspiration came from the murder, in my opinion, of 7-year-old Kamari Hughes. He is a Brooklyn child that was riding a safety scooter alongside his mom. You know, we moms, we know all too well that scenario. We have our little kids. They're on these little ride-along scooters, the ones that they have to pretty much, it's like a skateboard with a little handlebar type thing. And he's crossing the street practically attached to his mom's hip in a crosswalk. They had the right of way. They were crossing properly against with the light, not against it. And just as they make it across the street, the worst thing that could happen to any parent took place. And this poor mom, Tukunda, she had her baby 1 minute where they're laughing, and the next minute some stupid person doing the worst thing possible comes speeding around the corner and mows her baby down and almost hit another mother with the stroller just a few feet away. Why? Because here's an NYPD employee who's driving a tow truck with a towed vehicle speeding around a corner while she's looking down at her phone. An NYPD employee towing a vehicle speeds around the corner, mows down a little boy, almost mowed down another mother with the baby in a stroller. And probably, I don't know, she tried to keep going because she got scared and realized at the last minute, or if she didn't realize it until a bunch of shock witnesses pretty much got her attention and stopped her. Because she was looking down in her phone. Now, I bring that up because tonight we're going to speak about this part. In part one, we definitely talked of the fact that there are so many people who don't seem to understand that when you are on the road, you are on the road. You have to not only think for yourself and be responsible for your actions as a driver, but you have to think for morons on the road that's not you. You have to think about those people who think it's freaking cute to go put themselves in a bar somewhere and think that taking the keys to get behind a vehicle's steering wheel is a fun, cool thing to do, because their brains are all falsely telling them that they have the bravado and the ability to drive. I got myself here, didn't I? And some of them are so drunk and so intoxicated and so inebriated that they don't even realize they've mowed down about 3 people before they actually bumped into a tree themselves. That was that. That was what civilians do. But now let's talk about one to me that's even worse. So the little Kamaris of the world and those people who have suffered at the hands of this, can't even say idiocy because, you know, that's too mild a word, but let's talk this. When you have people that after that happens, you look to these specific people to make a difference, make a change, put some penalties out to somebody who had the nerve, the audacity, the disrespect, the courtesy, to say the least, of putting themselves as a weapon on the road against people unsuspecting and law-abiding. When you have these people who you're turning to make whatever they broke, law they broke, or violation they infracted, be punished, you can't. Why? Because those people are busy doing the same thing, but worse. They're doing the same thing with an authority given to them for their unique position to supposedly either regulating a law or enforcing the laws that's supposed to keep our society civil, that's supposed to keep our community safe, that's supposed to be a lesson to people who choose to ignore the rights and freedoms of other people because they feel like they're either entitled to what other people have, whether they have permission or not, or because it's not what they would want to do, so all they care about is whatever's good for them. So these laws that are in place are supposed to be in place to give us all a right to feel like there's a reprieve in the event someone comes along and tries to act outside of the law. Now, when the law is being broken by a civilian and you have a policeman pretty much has either followed suit or led by example with doing this, then where exactly is the protection for us? The person that took a 7-year-old boy's life was working for the very law enforcement department that we turned to catch her. So I have this really big question tonight, and actually it's going to be that question. When you answer that question, I'll definitely have a couple of follow-ups to it. But my question tonight is, should officials who disregard road safety laws be held accountable at a higher penalty and at a stiffer punishment than civilians? That's the question. Now, if you guys want to actually join in the discussion tonight, I appreciate all of you live stream listeners, but if you want to join the conversation live and hear you get your voice heard, call me at 347-327-9967, and you must press 1, or otherwise you'll just be a person listening by the phone. So I need you again, if you want to talk and get your voices heard out here about this particular subject, I would like for you to give me a call here, 347-327-9967, and press 1 so I know that you want to be heard. So let's talk about tonight. Now, we're continuing this series, like I said, on damages inflicted on the community due to the negligent enforcement of our road safety laws. Now, here's a couple of examples. Let's start with this one, which I thought was the most audacious. Now, I don't know how many of you heard of this story. I kind of just fell upon it. Apparently, the video to which this person, this officer, was called out for has since been deleted from TikTok. But apparently, this audacious person, and I'm saying person to be as, well, how can I put this, as humane and respectful as possible. She decides to put a TikTok video out. Now, mind you, here is an officer of the law, okay, who is a grown-up, who turned to something that our teenagers are doing to say the following, okay? And I'm trying to be as directly quoting as possible, but if not, I'm paraphrasing, and I'm pretty much going to break it down for the simple man or the common man. So here's the situation. She pretty much did a video pretty much telling us civilians, listen, yes, we do break the law. We don't give a damn about the law, and you should stay out of our way. All you need to know is if we're on the road, get the F out of the way. That is exactly what she said. Get out of our way, because I can go 90 miles an hour without consequence, but you cannot. Guess what else you could do? If you see us speeding down the freeway, get out of our way. If you see, if you've merged and we merge with you, chances are you're in trouble. And if you want to know if you are in trouble, then the best thing to do is to get the F out of our way. Guess what? If you are in front of us too long and you've annoyed us, we're able to find a way to find something we could pull you over for. So in order to avoid that, get the F out of our way. She said this repeatedly. Do you know what she was given as a penalty? I will hold off on that in just 1 minute, because here's what the problem is. Our problem is we already have too high an incidence of kids under cannabis influence, kids under drinking influence, kids under the influence of just their hormones and adrenaline running, kids under no supervision because the law is telling parents to stay out of their kids' upbringing. But then why? What happened to the upbringing when the mess that the law made for interfering in the first place made them the monsters that society is trying to paint them out to be? Then, well, they came from you. You had control. Why didn't you do your job? Okay, well, this is a situation. So because of that, now you have these kids that are scoring legal cannabis in a form of a gummy or an edible or a brownie, where they're trying to avoid being detected as being high from the smoke, because guess what? You can smell smoke. It's obvious. But see, what they're not understanding is a couple of things. You taking it in an edible form doesn't make the high on your face any less obvious. However, what it is doing, though, is putting you under a high that's twice as dangerous, because at least with weed, you felt it right away when you smoked it. But when you got cannabis that has to be genetically altered or put some chemicals in it or chemically changed so that, you know, you can get the same high without getting the smoke high, they have to, like, you know, make it up. So now your body doesn't know, you don't know what your body is going to do with this form of it. And it's become more of the more dangerous forms because it hits you when you don't expect it. You don't know how intense it's going to be. You don't know what the effect is going to be. You don't know which impairment it's going to put up for you. So now you're out there with this stuff because it's easy to do. It's fun. You think you're fooling your adults, but everybody knows you're high. And you get behind the wheel of a car and you turn it into a weapon. Now what happens is, the policemen are not really looking as they should be. They wait until something extremely tragic that could have been preventable had you been doing their jobs takes place before it becomes some attention. These kids are zigzagging, not even just kids. These people are zigzagging. They're looking at their phone, which is something that everybody knows. Quite some years ago, they put a hands-free, no texting and driving, no talking and driving with your hands on anything. You had to have your hands free to steer your wheel and your attention focused. There are so many safety things involved with this technological cars now that anybody still holding a handheld thing, it should be smacked anyway. You have mounts for your dashboard. You have hands-free where you could even tell your steering wheel to make a call. You can hear your person without having to look down at your phone. And if there is something that you have to physically check, then your first priority should be, let me pull the hell over, get out of the way of everybody else so that I can take this call safely, completely and undistractedly. That way you and the people on the road have an increased chance of remaining safe from the time that they came out to the time they get to their destination. And that you weren't the fool person that put us in jeopardy making a decision we never would have made. So that was for Monday and that was for civilians. Now tonight, we're going to talk about those people, those things that you have heard me mention. But only this time, it's done at the hand of a police officer. It's done at the hand of a politician. It's done at the hand of some teacher. It's done at the hand of somebody that's up in some political office where they know that if they got caught, you know, one of their buddies down on this side will sweep it under the rug, or all they have to do is wave their name or their badge or their credentials around and somebody will give them a warning this time. Instead of, if you got all this money to put these I forgot what they call them, but you know, these arcades of protection around these higher ups, then why is it that the minute you realize that they're drinking at a party or they're in partaking into something that's going to impair their judgment, has it not already been established that detail should be taking that impaired politician into a service that is done for them and not allow them to drive? So my question, if higher-ups, law enforcement official, any officials are guilty or have caused some sort of accident or tragedy or have been caught neglecting the road safety laws, should they be held to a higher penalty and a stiffer sentence? And that's what I would like for you to answer. And you can't do that on the live stream. You have to press 1 and call 347-327-9967. So now, these are the examples that I'm going to give you of this. So as I spoke a little bit earlier, about 10 minutes ago, Washington Federal Way officer, Brianna Strauss, it's her name. I don't know how many of you are familiar with this story. As I said, I just kind of came upon it yesterday and over the weekend. So Brianna Strauss is a police officer in Washington State. And she made a TikTok video that said pretty much, yes, we have the right to speed if we want to. We have the right to go 90 miles an hour. You don't. So when you hear us coming, get the F out of our way. If you see us rolling behind you, get the F out of our way. Because you know what? If you stay in front of us too long, we can find and create a reason to pull you over. You want to know if you that's in trouble? If you merge and we merge with you, you probably are in trouble. You want to know how to find out if you are? Get the F out of our way. Okay. Pretty much that was it. Went on and on and on. Now, speaking of accountability, which is the reason why most of these people with this, with these credentials have this audaciously insulting mentality to feel like, yeah, I'm going to do it and I know anything that happened to me either. Cops are not supposed to break any speeding laws, any regulation laws, anything like that, unless there is an emergency in progress. Now, here are plenty of times, and I know everybody on earth has been with behind an officer who didn't feel like waiting for a red light and decided to turn his lights on just because he knows that's the privilege he has. Not because there was an emergency, because you know what an emergency is. They light up those sirens and they are speeding down the road with them sirens and them lights flashing consistently and continuously. Not just long enough for you to move to the side and then they get to go past and then their lights shut off. That's an abuse of your authority. This tow truck driver abused her authority because she figured, I work for the NYPD. I'm not going to get in trouble, because if she hadn't thought that way, she wouldn't have had a cell phone on her during the time that she's picking up, confiscating cars at the thought of or the command of her dispatcher. That would have been something that would not be allowed by that person, because that person is of a position that's higher than the average civilian and they should be held to a uniquely higher standard. So that is the issue. Now, she did not. She's part of the NYPD. Figured that that's all she would need. The cops do it all the time. Figured that's all they would need, except that there was one, didn't notice that there was a woman that was crossing the street, a college student who he then turned around and on the radio was talking to his friend and be like, oh, well, she's only 26. She didn't matter much anyway. Let's go to the next situation. There was another not NYPD, but state PD, where there's a woman who's a police officer driving an official vehicle while she's looking. She's got the phone on the steering wheel, using her knuckles pretty much to steer the steering wheel with a phone, a handheld phone. So police officers and police departments don't give them handheld phones to communicate a crime. So that's a violation, which a civilian driver by, can't call him a passerby, pretty much taped and sent and put out video. And let me explain this to you, society. We have to stop just finding things like this and going online with it. For you showing it to the world, it's not going to stop the problem. It's just going to have people sitting behind their desks and behind their screens talking about it, and nothing's going to get happen. If you felt it was enough for you to take a video, you need to take it to some place where it can be dealt with and handled. So that's the other one. Assemblyman, Republican New York Assemblyman Brian Kolb, during the pandemic era, pretty much was caught driving drunk after just making a speech urging his constituents not to drink and drive and be responsible on New Year's Eve. Okay? Now, fortunately for this situation, nothing was reported that he damaged, but he was caught by a policeman under the influence. A New York Republican assemblyman, a lawmaker, a law enforcer, someone who sits behind and helps the legislation write out and decide on the laws, the budgets, and everything for us. And he's there breaking the very law everybody scrambled to put in place because they're trying to offset the next number of tragedies that took place to the very law that he infracted. Why? Because everybody knows politicians drink at parties and functions. And instead of beefing up the security detail or the protection detail to get them home safely at the risk of nothing to the public or to the person, they're like, oh, well, you know, he'll just get it all. He'll just take, you know, sleep it off and we'll rip up the ticket. Now, Officer Brianna Strauss, for her TikTok video rant, got 1 day suspension. Not even one day, ladies and gentlemen. She got what they called a one-shift suspension. Just 10 hours. So for her crap that she put out there and probably practices as she's telling them and bragging. She got 10 hours off. The laws have to be higher for lawmakers who are lawbreakers. The law, the penalties have to be stricter to put accountability on the table. People who are not of these credentials have to have messages and enforcements that is told to them in a way where they understand this is not allowed, it is not acceptable, and you will feel it. One other, as I said, the tow truck driver. The increasing amount of deaths in civilian distracted driving and reckless driving is already outrageous and already horrifying. However, the audacious disregard for safety laws by the ones that put it in place to enforce them are a bigger threat to our community. Do you agree or disagree? And I'd like to hear that from you as well. If you have people in place that are taking their chances and trying to disregard the law to be rebellious as civilians, that can be punished, that will be punished, that if they're caught, they will get there. And so far, nobody's doing it at the rate that it's happening. So clearly there's been enough widespread gaps for people to be able to slip in. And I've seen cops sitting on the side of the road that saw the curving, somebody zigzagging on the highway and didn't do anything. So here's the situation. If that's already an issue, how much worse is it that the people who's supposed to do it is believing they're going to do it because they have the right as policemen to speed, but they know exactly how they have that permission. They have the mission to speed in the event of an emergency, not to use it because they don't feel like, you know, waiting an extra 5 minutes for the light to change so they can get to their bar after work. And I'm trying to figure out, as much as the tragedy, definitely the tragedy and the effect of those tragedies, you know, stand alone on its own. It's a given. Which is worse? So my co-host should be coming in at some point. But for those of you that want to speak and get your thoughts out and join this conversation to let us know what you're feeling and what you think we should do about it, call again, 347-327-9967, and please press 1 so that I know you want to speak. So before I go off to our next commercial break and be back here, that is the question. If you're having laws that are put in place, and the thing that I think that bugs me the most, in part 1, we spoke about the fact that the laws that are being broken now were actually updated laws implemented because there was a rash of deaths and tragedies and horrible things that were taking place because there was no law governing that particular cause back at that time. Cell phones must be mounted and hands-free. That was definitely something that was implemented a few years back because of the rise in distracted driving. They started making cars that won't even allow you to look at anything that's not the road while the car's in motion or even turned on. As a matter of fact, I have one of those. Before my car accident, ladies and gentlemen, I had a device that wouldn't allow my phone or anything to be seen on the screen of my DVD system because you can't look at that. If the car was turned on, whether you were parked or in motion, as long as the car was turned on, the system believed you were in motion. You were operating the vehicle. You were not allowed to be able to look at the movie or look at any off-screen, non-driving information from your phone or from the screen until you parked the car and shut the key off. So all of those things was to be in support of the newly implemented law at that time. That's not new anymore. Nowhere in this nation right now is anybody allowed to hold their cell phone in their hand or look down while they got the car in motion to read a text. And I don't understand, unless you have a sick child in the hospital that is right now, any minute, anything could happen, there is no reason for you to not take a couple of extra seconds to find a safe space to pull off to be able to check your phone without causing a pileup in the road. No reason for that. But more so, there's no excuse, acceptance room, or any possible way that anybody that's designed to enforce those laws should be allowed to ignore them and should be allowed to entertain disregarding them without accountability higher than those that it's put in place for civilians. And they should be wiped of the damn option to have the audacity to even have the mentality to think they can. They're given special privileges as police officers, definitely, to not be restricted by governing rules when there's an emergency in progress. Everybody can understand that. An ambulance, same thing. Ambulance drivers, absolutely. Nobody is going to argue with that. No one is going to be upset that ambulance drivers can use their siren to get through, and we all must yield to either side to allow the path to be clear. No one is going to be upset that there's a police officer who just got phoned in that there's a domestic violence in progress or a robbery in progress, or there's a man in someone's room or an intruder in someone's home or a kidnapping that just took place. Who's going to argue with the fact that we've got to move over and allow them to do their job? But if I'm coming out of my driveway with my children, or I'm turning the corner to go to my home or go anyplace, and there's no emergency in progress, and I'm following all the rules, just because I happen to be in front of a cop car shouldn't mean that I have to fear for my life or get out of the way or bow down to the master so that they can go through, simply because we have this unspoken or implied fear of police officers. Police officers is not supposed to be feared. And we will get into all the other reasons why they are. But police officers, for a law-abiding citizen, is not supposed to be feared by that law-abiding citizen. So, like I said, if you want to speak, you have something to say, you want to debate me, whatever it is, 347-327-9967, and press 1 to speak. I've got to go out to commercial. I will be back. When I get back, we will speak. So, hang with me, guys.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Hey, we're back, everybody. Thanks for hanging out once again. Okay, so we're going to be, those of you that are not with us since we started. Let's reiterate, those of you that was with us on part one, we spoke about a little boy in Brooklyn, New York, that was riding along with in a scooter with his mom. She was crossing him across the street, and in a split second, one crossing the street, she had the light. She was following all the rules of the road. She wasn't in the middle of the road. She was not jaywalking. She had her 7-year-old son right by her side. She was walking right with him, and he was riding his little scooter. I don't know, like the little Razor scooters, I guess that's what it is for the kids. And before they could get to across the street, pretty much practically an NYPD tow truck driver comes barreling around the corner, runs him over, almost runs another mom and a baby in a stroller over, kills him pretty much instantly. And they found out she was on her phone, looking down at her phone. Now, that was what civilians do. We were speaking on part one, for those of you who were just coming in for part two. We were speaking on how civilians are getting away pretty much. These people that are wrecking the road this way, they're pretty much doing that because the people who are supposed to be in charge of watching and enforcing and securing and keeping the laws in are not. A lot of times, like I said, I've personally seen cop cars sitting right there at the side of the road, and these people will drive right past them, speeding like crazy with their loud mufflers, making the noises and stuff. And these cops are not looking like that's something that they're looking for to go take care of. Like, they're too tired. And you know what? In all fairness, and I'm not talking about you fools on the front page reality show drama cops, but I'm speaking about the ones that actually are in the force, giving a damn about what that shield is supposed to mean, really caring about doing their job to protect and serve, really caring if there's a kid that's in trouble. Those that you always were taught as a young person that the cops are there for, the person you go to when you can't find your parents or you can't find safety. Now, so for those of you doing that, I commend you, officers, real officers. You got my support. I was a recipient of those good benefits to those real people out there when I was a teenager myself. So I can tell you at this point that I know you guys are getting a bad rap for all of those lackadaisical nobody police officers that are out there taking advantage and abusing their power. So I will say that it's not fair for the bad apples to overshadow you. So you guys have my respect and my thanks. Now, getting back to those, I have sat there. I have been in the car, either alone or with my children. I have seen coming back where everybody in the line of traffic is like, oh my God, look at that fool, what he just did. There'll be a car sitting right there, ready to go, not parked like where the car's off. And they're on their phone, and they see it, and they look up, and they'll see everybody's shocked reaction and their looks at them, and they will ignore the looks like, yeah, I don't know what you're looking at, and sit right there until that person who they allowed to go crashes somewhere up ahead. Something that had they done their job, maybe that could have been prevented. Tonight we're speaking on when those cops are the ones that are those people that sped ahead. When the EMT who is not actually going to get a sick person has used their siren to buzz through and drive erratically, to not yield at a stop sign, to not yield at a yield sign, to try to beat a yellow light, which is, by the way, another factor to what that NYPD tow truck driver did, that also was a factor in her killing that little boy. My question, should officials who blatantly disrespect and disregard road safety laws be held accountable at a higher, stiffer penalty rate? And more like a zero tolerance as well, a one-shift suspension for inciting some nonsense or telling you that get out of our way, because pretty much even though we want you to protect and serve us, we really just use our position to mess with you guys? To be a problem? Okay, so that is the issue, and I believe my co-host is in, so I'm going to bring her here. Give me a sec. And welcome to the show, Asia. You with me?
Hi, Katie. How are you doing?
Hi. Okay, so you said you've been with me for a little bit. I know you came in a little late today. So what have you heard? And if you didn't, I'll reiterate. But my question tonight, after we spoke on part one, tonight's part two, where we're talking about the title, Killed by Negligent Safety Laws, part two is Dangerous Officials. So Catalyst in part one has to be included with tonight, which is the NYPD tow truck driver that killed 7-year-old Kamari Hughes. And she was...
I was here for part one, and, you know, I've been here for the past couple of minutes to listen to you telling your side. And as I stated last show, it is very unfortunate that that had to happen, and my prayers are with her and her entire family for this tragic situation. Now, I understand that to agree with you, there's officials that just need to start doing more. Now, I'm not talking about the ones that are doing their part, because there are more than a few that are actually doing their part. But to the ones that just, as you said, want to take advantage of their protocol or their just job title, in a sense that you, I guess you could say, there needs to be something that needs to be done. Now, I understand, I also understand that, you know, one, especially because she was a, quote, civilian, she wasn't technically, you know, NYPD affiliate, but she was I guess you could say, advocate for them. She worked under them. One person doesn't necessarily provide for all, like doesn't show the outline for all of them, but it does show that there needs to be stuff done. Because as you were saying, there's times where we've seen officers not do anything. You know, speeding, we've all seen it. I don't have to go into my scenarios. We've all seen it. A car speeding on a runway, the cops are just there. But if you're in a residential area and you're going 7 miles over, or they're definitely going to pull you over, but the guy that was doing 20 miles in a residential area, he got away. You know, it's just little stuff like that, which is kind of, you know, contradicting each other. Well, let's talk about the fact that, and this is a prime example, cops speeding when there's no necessarily moment to speed. What about that time where a cop was caught speeding and he had a whole accident? He crashed into a car, injuring that passenger and the driver, because they did not want to wait. Now, that did not get a lot of media coverage. I only saw it, you know, scrolling through Google, but it did happen. Situations like that do happen. And it's really unfortunate. They want to use their sirens. They want to pave the way for themselves. It was one time when I first started, driving, I was in my early 20s, if not already just 20, and I had rented my first car. Now, just like you, when I first started driving, I was scared of the road. I wasn't doing 15 and a 35, but, you know, I was real alert when it came to certain things. Now, there was a cop car behind me. I understand that, you know, they didn't have their lights. I'm not in the wrong lane, so I necessarily don't have to cross over to the next lane if I don't have to. So I decided to stay in that lane. A few minutes down the road, they're flashing their lights. So I'm like, oh, what did I do now? Because, you know, is a car reported stolen? Like, you know, some crazy thing you start to think of when you see those lights, because I know I wasn't speeding. So I pull over just for them to pass me, just to keep going. I was in their way. They didn't want to switch lanes themselves, so they had me pull over so that they can go. It was unnecessary. It was extremely unnecessary. Because when it's times where there are necessarily emergencies where they do have to speed and they're honking their horns all crazy, then you're like, okay, well, I understand that. But to get me off in front of you, out from in front of you, that's unnecessary. You're taking advantage of your position right now. Now, leading into your topic for tonight, you know, it goes, I understand that tonight's topic is about, you know, the officials in regards to, you know, the last topic, but it even goes as deep into as being just all officials, doctors for malpractice, for them being, you know, delinquent with the stuff that they do, lawyers, like it goes so far, and something needs to be done. And I understand we have our protests from here to there, and we have our social media outbursts, and we get a whole bunch of comments, but those are just words. There needs to be some form of actual action.
I totally agree. And the thing you mentioned, like, you know, the cops flashing their lights to come behind you. I've had them actually do the whoop, whoop, you know, and everybody that knows how policemen pull you over when it is you that they're looking for, that's the method that they use, only for them to be able to tell you, you know, to move out the way. There was another incident I've had where they actually used their CB radio to say, pull your car over to the side. And here you are thinking, well, I didn't do, I know me, I drive like a nerd. When I say a nerd, people, I mean, I follow the speed limit. I'm telling you, I don't go, listen, so I don't go too slow and I don't speed. So my thing is, I'm trying to figure out what could it be. I knew that it was my, that it wasn't my tail light. I knew all my things were together, only for them to want to be out the way, like you explained, to get past the stop sign or to get past the red light or to beat the yellow light. Now, if you're right, if you were here, you know, a little bit earlier, I mentioned it's not just the police that abused this authority. A New York assemblyman did the same thing, had the nerve to be on the podium, make sure tonight, I know we're all going to be celebrating this wonderful holiday, we're going to be doing some drinking, but please, let's be responsible and safe, and let's not drive drunk. And he was found driving drunk right after the ball dropped. And for him, I don't really see much. So I'm not sure if they just quietly, you know, exited him out to stage left. But my thing is, they wouldn't have the it's the lax, or I should say the lax regard for the safety road rules, or the road safety rules is what I meant. Or it's, I'm going to do it, and I know that I'm going to be okay, you know, because one of my buddies will just rub it off or give me a warning or something. That there's a, I don't know how many of you watch Blue Bloods. I definitely am I'm a diehard. Now, there was an episode where these cops were drunk as a skunk. And they were actually crashing. They were getting behind the wheels of a car, and they were crashing. And the other cops, because they didn't want those cops to be exposed or whatever for it, kind of hit it and brought them to like a secret bar hangout that it was just for cops that were policing their fellow partners to drive them out so that they didn't get caught or anything. But they were covering up the accident. Now, this particular cop actually ran into a pole. In the episode, ran into a pole. That could have been a child. That could have been a mother or worker coming out of a late shift. You know, what would have happened then? And in the episode, that was what they were talking on, or the topic they were tackling. There's another situation. EMT, okay, which I can't remember which state it was, and it was quite a while ago, but and by the way, before I finish up, that assemblyman was found by himself in the car in a ditch, drove off from a New Year's Eve party, stinking drunk, after giving a speech against drunk driving as a public service announcement, and was found in a ditch with his car alone, drunk as a skunk. Brian Kolb is his name. Brianna Strauss, as I just said, did a TikTok video telling us pretty much, when you see us, just get the F out the way. When you see us in your way, we're allowed to speed. You can't. We could do whatever we want. You cannot. You don't want to get in trouble. Stay like, and that is something that goes against like the ethics of the NYPD. They gave some stupid little BS. We just want to let you all know we absolutely do not condone what she said, and that is not the reflection or the opinion or the way the operations work here in this federal way department, you know, police department. Yeah, so I guess that means she could go out there, say all that stuff, incite that stuff. She got a whole shift taken away from her. She was punished for a whole 10 hours. Whoopee-doo. If they're going to give civilians enough fines that some people who decided to be silly enough to commit this infraction, but the amount of fines that they give is a lunch that two lunches for a kid for 2 days to a civilian, then why aren't people who are put in place to enforce that law that person was fined for be held to a higher and stiffer punishment? That NYPD tow truck driver may not have been an official police officer, but I can guarantee you that she brought that phone on there and opened it up, believing that if she got caught out there, somebody would cover it up. I don't think she expected that she would be vehicular manslaughter, pretty much. But I figured if she got into a little crash, she hit somebody's car, whatever, she figured that she would be able to go get it rubbed off somewhere, because NYPD is sort of like a cover for her, even if civilians don't really know what happens. I know for a fact that they're not allowed to use their emergency sirens, lights, or any of that stuff unless it's actual emergency or some sort of official police business in progress. They're not supposed to have cell phones on duty, and they're not supposed to have the car on or anything. They're supposed to be parked and away from duty. So they don't want to get in. They don't want to. They sit back because, yeah, it's yet another law we have to look at, but they don't really want to go see a road safety infraction. So they'll look at it happening, and it's not a priority. But while it's not a priority, that's one of the highest forms of causes of death. We as people should have our officials be held accountable on a higher standard, because nobody is going to get the message unless you hit them where it hurts. And if these cops are sitting up there saying, hey, oh, it's a judge. Oh, let them go. Oh, it's the assemblyman. Let them go. Oh, it's a celebrity. Hey, get some tickets later. That's the reason why Hollywood has all the problems they have. And that's another segment we'll do in another day, because you know what? There are certain things put in place that allow these members of these particular fields to believe they are not accountable. Not that as a cop, we get a little extra, you know, leeway. Not as a politician, I'll be able to, you know, get a warning instead of a quick arrest, unless it's an egregious offense. But I'm going to do it every time I want to do it, and I'm going to get, it's nothing's going to happen to me. They'll say it. It's in the rules. I see it, but nobody's going to do anything about it. And just like a couple of people said in the comments of this woman's video, so if that in law enforcement person is leading by example, why should civilians have to follow the rules? And while we know what that means physically, if anybody with half a thinking brain could picture the scenario, we know exactly why that can't happen. But in all honesty, is it a wrong question to ask? So can you guys imagine, can you think about what could happen if that tow truck driver hadn't been stopped by all the witnesses, and that lady with the second baby would have gotten hit?
Can we think about if the driver wasn't an affiliate for NYPD and she was a regular civilian? Can we just agree that she would have been arrested already?
Mm-hmm.
She would have been arrested on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the leniency goes as far as, let's say you're an undercover cop, right? You're speeding. You're speeding through the intersection or whatever, and you get pulled over. All right, buddy, you have a good day. even goes as far as their kids. Their kids get a DUI. They say, oh, my father is a NYPD. My father is a firefighter. This, okay, it's a slap on the back. Okay, you go home. When officials get caught doing things that civilians are prohibited to do, it's a death ticket. It's a paid leave. It's a you don't patrol the streets no more. You just gonna sit at the desk. That is not a punishment. That is not what that's not supposed to be doing. Just because they're an official don't mean they get leniency. That's not right. And then when there's now people questioning, okay, well if they can do it, why can't we do it? That is a very fair question. Now, I'm not saying it's right. Nobody's going to just go out in a 35 and speed 70. We all know it's wrong. But if the cops can do it, the firefighters, even though with their big trucks, or the EMTs, if they can do it and not be held to the same, if not the same standards as we, why should we do it? That's not right. That's not fair at all.
The funny thing is, and I don't, you know, but in all of my years of seeing this type of infraction by, like, you know, officials, I have yet to see FDNY do it. The fire departments do it. I don't know about the states, but I mean, in my life in New York, I have yet to see the fire departments do that infraction. I have yet to see a fire truck turn on their siren just to get through a red light. I have never seen it. Now, I'm not saying that it hasn't happened, but I'm pretty old, and you know, like I've got enough juice under my belt to say I've been around of this earth a while. I've seen some things, and I have yet to see one of the fire trucks drivers abuse the privilege. I have yet to see that. I have seen cops sit on the sidelines and not pay attention to somebody that just sped past them on a residential area. I have seen cops sit by when somebody not only made a three-point turn where there was clearly a clear sign that said no U-turns, I've made a U-turn in front of them, while holding up traffic a little bit, almost hit somebody else and be able to speed off running. And they just looked up like, what's going on? Not one. I have seen highways, everybody, there's been a couple of cars that come from way behind the line that was zigzagging all the way through, get in front there, wind up going so fast and so ridiculously crazy that they wind up turning the curve on a highway road and wind up crashing into something on the side. One time, there was a big rainy day. Now, I'm not sure about how many of you who are not from New York, who's been to New York, know where the Grand Central Parkway is. However, on the Grand Central Parkway, and I'll never forget this because my older daughter was a baby at the time. I was with my ex-husband. We were coming home from a visit. It was raining cats and dogs that day to the point where if you had defoggers, the rain was so crazy that it, even with the defogger working, it wasn't working, if you know what I mean. Like those days that it's so heavy snow that, you know, you just finished shoveling and already there's another pile over the salt. Well, let me tell you. So this guy, everybody was actually calling from their car, calling 911 from their car on the road, that this guy was erratically being crazy. I mean, he was going at least 70 miles an hour in a rainstorm on the curviest highway New York has, going around, zigzagging, abruptly cutting people off, going from one extreme right, left lane to the extreme right in the blink of an eye. Everybody else is slowing down for the weather. Everybody else is realizing visibility is compromised. So we have to kind of be okay. This guy speeding so bad, nearly hit one car, tapped another lady's thing, passed a trooper, a highway patrol guy, and clipped the lady's side view mirror in front of the cop, and was so messed up and so horrible. Everybody was like, yo, you didn't even do anything. What's going on? This guy's going to get it. You know how we get when somebody's almost messed us up on the road. We get pissed off. This guy was so, talk about karma. Not only did he get away with it, piss everybody off, clip this lady's mirror, nearly hit somebody else. He spun around a big curve on Grand Central and couldn't control himself, smashed right into the back of a police car that was stopping another person who was speeding on the road. And all we saw was this guy put his head in his hands as if to say, oh, God, it's over for me. We have a caller coming in. Hang on just a sec, please. Welcome to the show, caller.
I drug myself to death.
Good evening, Kim. This is Mohammed.
Hey, Mo. Welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm fine. Okay. Well, our question tonight, I don't know how long you've been listening. How long have you been listening? So I have to know if I got to reiterate.
You can reiterate, but I was listening. I've been on. Just reiterate.
Okay. Part one, we're speaking about a two-part series, Killed by Negligent Safety Laws, meaning the laws put in place to govern and protect the drivers on the road and the civilians around us that pretty much go, you know, loosely enforced. Nobody really enforces them as they should. So there's been a rise in distracted driving by cell phone, by texting, people playing with their radios, you know, things to that effect while they're driving. This started off because of a little boy in Brooklyn that got killed by the NYPD tow truck driver who sped around the corner that she was trying to beat a yellow light, and she was looking down at her phone when it happened. So that was on civilians. We were talking about then how, you know, the laws should be enforced and that people who deliberately break these laws or disregard these rules need to be having a penalty that they feel. Now, today, we're talking about that very infraction, but when officials in high places pretty much abuse their power and the mentality of, I'm the judge or I'm a cop or I'm a this, so nobody is going to mess with me and I'll just push this under the rug or negotiate, pretty much. So my question is, should a official caught breaking these safety laws be held to a higher penalty when they break the law?
Absolutely. Because you know what? At the end of the day, when one is actually putting out, like the old saying goes, you got to practice what you preach. At the end of the day, you are the law, and we are the ones that call you. You're the one that's supposed to set the example. No one should be given the green pass for anything. In fact, they should even be ashamed of themselves. And they should be held at a higher accountability rate just because they are the law and they are the ones that are supposed to set the example. You know, the thing that happened, the incident that happened to that young little boy, that young child in Brooklyn is so sad. That's like straight out of a movie. Like one minute you're eating ice cream and then all of a sudden there's a big freight train coming out of nowhere. And in one split second, your child walks away and boom, before you know it, all you see is just, well, two sneakers and body gone, and you turn around and you're just horrific. And the thing about that is people who are irresponsible, you know what, this country is just so lenient. I wish that America was like a country, like a Muslim country from a third world country, that's so strict that they will throw you in jail for 100 years just for you doing something so crazy, just to show you the seriousness of how laws are in this country. Because especially the texting, I hate that so much with a passion, and I don't hate anything, but I highly dislike that. You know why? Because if it's so damn important for you to have to speak, use your mouth. You guys get on the speaker, speak, and look. Because when you're driving, your eyes are your main instrument. It's the most instrumental. How do you know that you're driving if you're not looking? Because if you're looking and paying attention and stop being on the cell phone and stop texting, that's the most laziest form of communication in this world. People can talk, but why must you text? And you're behind a vehicle. People's lives are in danger, like you just mentioned. You have to think for everybody. You have to think ahead of the next driver, because there's some people who don't even think. Even when you walk, when I walk sometimes, there's some people who are so slow or they don't watch where they're going, or there's some people who are literally on their phone walking, and I stand there, boom, they bump right into me, and I'm like, you see this? This is just walking. Now, can you imagine driving? this is just walking. There's many times people have done that. I'm like, man, this is just walking. Can you imagine driving? So at the end of the day, when people are driving recklessly and not thinking in and on their cell phone, if I was a judge, you would be in jail for so long you wouldn't even know, because that's irresponsible. Whatever is that important, talk on the phone. Talk. You don't need to be texting and driving, texting. No. Your eyes need to be looking left, right, head, north, south. But you feel as though, oh no, I can text. I've done this before. It only takes that one time where somebody's life could be in danger. Because look, what if there was a person who's not looking, walking, being aimlessly like you, but the thing is, you're behind a vehicle, and they're walking with their legs. I mean, I see this all the time. You have more of a responsibility because you're behind a vehicle. A person walking cannot give you an accident, but you can give someone an accident because you're behind a big vehicle, a vehicle that weighs a ton compared to a human being. So it's like at the end of the day, people who are behind there and risk someone's life by being negligent need to be jailed. You need to, there's no excuse. And if you're a police officer or law enforcement or someone of high position, you need to be jailed even more so, because you are the law. Because if someone else did something, you guys would be out there ready to arrest them, ready to hold them accountable. So why can't they be accountable? They're not invisible people. And this is exactly why these people are able to get away with murder. Because like they said, those who take pleasure in watching people are always the ones that need to be watched. Because they're busy watching people, but yet still, when they're doing something, no one should watch them. They should be given the green pass because of a law or a this, that, and a third. But yet still, when they actually see the Almighty God, your law and your title isn't going to save you. Maybe on earth it'll save you, but it won't save you when you're before God, because not for nothing. You take a responsibility when you're a driver. Before you even get your license, they show you all of these steps. They show you videos. They show you things not to do. And you're supposed to be, and you of all people are in a position where you emphasize this, but yet still you broke it. So you should be held even higher because of that. That's all I have to say.
You said a mouthful, and awesome and on point. And I'm going to tell you, it's not just, you brought up the walking and texting. And that, to me, too, was going to be something that I had in another segment, where I believe there are laws that everybody needs to understand. Distraction, even on the street. That so many people don't think that the walking and texting is dangerous. Like you just said, just bumping into you. There's been so many times that kids have been knocked over, and it led to something different, like a road rage type thing. But people have to be on their cell phones looking down. And you said something, you know, if you gotta communicate, talk, not just talk. Let's be fair and say, let's say you gotta get that text. Get the hell off the road. Take a few extra minutes to use your head. Step off the road. You know how many times, even on a highway, they've designated a shoulder for you to get off of the road for emergency stopping? You know what I'm saying? So there's a place that you can go where you can sit there and look in your phone without distracting the rest of the world. Like I said earlier, and I teach this to my I've got teenagers that are dying to get their permit because they're dying to get behind the wheel of a car. And I try to explain to them, even back then when for us driving was a bit safer, let me tell you something. It's never just you learning how to actually operate the vehicle. Anybody can learn how to put a damn key in ignition, turn it over, press the brake, you know, move over. That's not the situation. Driving isn't just the physical aspect of it. Driving is thinking for the road, being aware. Like you said, you cannot possibly be looking at the road and looking down at something and be driving. Because even when you are at your best, at your fullest. The car accident we just had, I couldn't have done anything safer. I couldn't have checked enough times. I couldn't have slowly proceeded enough times. I couldn't have double-checked for pedestrians. I couldn't have done anything better. And I couldn't have been more established in the intersection to see this guy coming full speed ahead from a place that was at 25 miles per hour zone. To the point where while I'm moving, he's gaining on me, and I have to beep on him to like, yo, do you realize that there's a big ass car in the middle of the intersection? Excuse the French listeners, I didn't mean to say that on the air. But my situation that I'm saying is that if that can happen, and this guy would get, if people were looking, and the only time that a cop comes is actually when there was an actual impact or something like that. But if they, if we were going to be subject to arrest or subject to fines or subject to penalties as civilians that are steep and severe for the purpose of teaching us a lesson and understanding how serious this was, then where does a policeman, a doctor, a celebrity, any one of these people get to feel that in my realm of position here, I'm God and I can do what I want? Because that is the world that we live in, that's given them this implied free golden pass. Celebrities are drunk all the time and speeding because they don't feel that anybody is going to miss, you know, ghosts from power. You get what I'm saying to you? Or, you know, one of these people that we see every week. Cops do it every day because, you know what, I've got the gun, the shield, and I'm a cop. And you know what? I know how to get around it. I know what to say if I ever got caught. Judges, this politician, but apparently he got silently disgraced off his whatever. I don't know, and I don't want to quote. I haven't looked up yet. But this other woman who had the audacity with the uniform on to go on to TikTok and say openly, that's right, we speed and you can't. Ha ha. That's right. If we don't like what we see, we can stop you for no damn reason and pull you over simply because you got on our nerves because you didn't move out the way. If you don't want anything, get the F out the way. That's all we need. Go away, go away, go away, because we're the cops and you're not. Nope, we don't need to have an emergency. That's what they tell you on TV, but we really need that to do this. Where on earth, what the hell have we come to when this is what people who are supposed to be up there being up in a prestigious position above the civilians, they're supposed to be keeping what was once supposed to be a great country, a free country, a civilized, quote unquote, country, where the people who is in position to keep it civil is acting more savage than the people that they're picking up.
Yes.
And again, let me be very clear to those of you young men and women in blue and those veteran men and women in blue, I have personally benefited, been protected, felt safe from real people, real policemen that are out there trying to really be community protectors and servers. I know a lot of people are just looking at all of the hyper-racial, bigoted people that are out there, the criminal cops. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that is not what a real cop is. My family members that are in the service, that have served for years, that got to retire with pride, I could tell you there were two officers in my world that kept me as a runaway from being hurt, from taking the wrong path. When I was down and out, I can tell you that there was somebody who invested their time and service into caring about a kid that could have gone a wrong way because nobody that was supposed to protect her was there to do the right thing. So I'm telling you right now, for those people, I am sorry that your fellow men in blue are making things look bad, that all the ones that are out there thinking that it's just a badge, some money, and a couple of ways to, you know, to tell you something and get in the face of the bully that messed with them. This isn't the time or the place, nor is it the right thing to do. But you should be held to a higher standard. You should be held to a stiffer penalty. You should be made the biggest example of so that the world understands you can't play around with either in law enforcement or abiding by the law. Delasia, you want to weigh in?
You know, I agree 100%. It needs to be, you need to take more accountability. You are the face of the law. We're supposed to be looking towards you. Okay, well, this man, he's an official. He's doing the right thing. I have to do the right thing. If I see an official, not saying I'm going to go out and do it, but if I see an official speeding down an intersection, what makes you think there's other people that's not going to want to think, okay, well, they could get away with it, I might as well get away with it. Now, there is, I was just talking to my friend, and, you know, there is a there's a little joke out here where I reside. Now I live outside the city, but we all know when we go into Washington D.C., it is very lenient. The traffic laws, the police out there, they are highly driving wise, you can do so much and not expect to get pulled over. But then as soon as you get outside of D.C., like Arlington or, you know, Maryland or, you know, Virginia per se, then the police are a little bit more stricter. But we would say all the time, you go to D.C., you're going to have to be mindful of the speeders, the people that run all the red lights, the people that treat the stop signs as though it's a yellow caution sign. They don't, and it goes as far as cops too. They're doing exactly what the civilians are doing. They don't stop you. If you do a 3-point turn and you're making all this traffic, as you were saying earlier, Katie, that you witnessed somebody doing that, you're not going to get fined. You're not going to get pulled over or ticketed. There's police everywhere. It's Washington, D.C. So you would expect for the traffic laws to be as tight as, you know, as ever. But no, as long as you're not doing something outrageous, they will not pull you over. They're going to be doing the outrageous things with you, speeding through the intersection. And, you know, I was reading up on it. It is, quote, unquote, wrong to blow your horn if there's no emergency, to tap on your horn on your steering wheel. You can't do that. But people do it all the time. But the police, they're doing it to get out of. I remember I was at JFK one day. I think I was dropping somebody off, picking somebody up, one of the two. And there was, they just so happened to be some type of police activity at the airport. Nothing new. But because the traffic was so added up for the time of day that I went, this police car was behind me, and he's slamming on his horn, and he's, like, calling out the color of my car. And he's like, move your car now. Move it right now. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, you do know that it's rush hour. People are getting off and on a plane. There's nowhere to go. And he's flashing his lights. He's honking his horn, and then I found a place to pull over, even though it was not a place. I'm telling you, Katie, this was not a place for me to pull over. It wasn't safe. It wasn't nowhere for me to be putting my car in a predicament like this. But because this guy was on my tail, I had to let him go. And he just rushed by, and he was just going on about his business. And I'm like, that is an accident waiting to happen. And I guarantee that if and when it happens, he's going to get nothing, not a ticket, not a slap on the wrist, nothing. They don't care.
And you see, and this is when, like, the camera phone while you're being harassed or whatever would come into play so that it could be presented to the precinct or the dispatcher he comes from. Now, we all know that more than likely nothing will happen, but then again, you don't know until you try, and you have to. That is a deal. Like, I'll tell you something that happens, like, when I network with other people on the show who are as outraged about these things. I'm not talking about the listeners. I'm talking about, like, other people I'm going to say, like, in a position like me, for lack of a better word, because I'm just a common person that happens to have a podcast that I could talk in that platform. It is, but I'm no politician. I'm no higher up of any sort. But the people that come here and talk and listen, how can I put this? Lack of a better word, they put me in on the podium. Let's put it like that. I'm on the podium. So when you're in a conference hall and the person on the podium, I guess, is the leader of the class for that moment. So I in this weekly or, you know, tri-weekly thing, I'm the leader of the podium. You know, here we go. So with that being said, I'm in a position where I guess I could do a couple of extra things more than the average person calling in to listen to the show. So I could do certain things, and there's certain people that I speak with, and there's certain things that I learn in the community. It is my job to be angry about the things that can hurt our children, whether it's my kid or your child or whatever the case is. It is our job. It's our obligation to be angry. It's our obligation to put in a piece, because you know something? Everybody is going to the same place now, a world where society says we don't care anymore. And the cops are right there with it. And these officials are right there with it. Every other day, you're reading about a politician who dipped his unmentionable somewhere shouldn't be, rather than being behind the law to make sure that, you know, everybody is getting the distributions that they need to get for certain things. Or you hear about somebody that was caught drinking somewhere because they can't handle their problems, but they want to stay in power with all the rules in place. Or you read about somebody who wants to be a cop, not because they care to protect and serve anymore, but because, hey, I heard being a cop, you could get anything you want and nobody could do anything. Let's high five to that. Come on now, what is this stuff? Teachers don't teach anymore. Very few people come in and they care to teach. No, they just want to do their job, get their paycheck, and get you out of there. Then they want to say it's the student's fault. You get what I mean? And I was going to say earlier, and I think I started to say this earlier. I see you, Cole. I'll bring you in just a minute. I started to say this earlier. I understand that policemen have it hard, and I'm talking about those real policemen, the one that take their badge and what it means to heart, the ones that take their oath to serve and protect to heart, who believes everybody is entitled to protection, who believes everybody deserves to live in a space safe from crime and from lawbreakers. So I'll say this to you, but I have to tell you this, and this is not to be unfair, or it's not to be cold, or it's not to act like I know something from the other side of the window. What I'm saying to you is you signed up for a job that includes all of that, and I understand that the workload gets higher and that you're expected to do certain things, but that is what you stand for. Every crime is important. Now listen, ladies, old ladies whose cats got in a tree, if that's really a thing, we're not speaking on that. But it's a community service nice thing to do if a policeman has time. Get up in a tree, help an old lady feel better about a pet, help a child find his ball, do something to that effect, great. I'm speaking on things that you have deemed are not a priority enough. Being behind the wheel of a car and not giving your all in focus is a crime. If your child is crying and you can find a place to pull over, a baby crying is a distraction. You have to pull over and solve the problem. If there is a bad smell in the car that smells like gas that may be coming from, you have to pull over. You can't text your person about it. If you got to call a person, you have to do it with all the new gadgets in place to make sure that you have a hands-free experience. Listen, they are making gadgets for the average person. You can go to Walmart and find there is a generic brand that works perfectly. ONN. They have the best of everything. Anything that you could find that you'll pay $1,000 for no damn reason, you'll get it for less there when it works the same way, if not better. So let me tell you something. Everybody is able to get a phone mount. Everybody is able to get some sort of Bluetooth or wireless headset type form or whatever. Before I finish, I'm going to say this, and there's a caller coming in. So everybody is allowed, is able to get something to help increase safe driving. Everybody has a choice or an option, even if you can't do it in the immediate run, to find a way to get to safety before you take your eyes off the road. And that's your obligation. That is what they tell you in your DMV class before you're allowed to go take a road test, before you're allowed to get your permit and your license. They even go back as before they even grant you a permit. You have to take a written test stating pretty much that you understand the rules of the road, that you understand that you are about to receive a privilege that can be revoked at any time if you should at any point in time drive unsafely and against these rules. Okay, so before I bring the caller in, I want to say something. I want to take a minute to give my condolences to the family and friends and the fans who mourn him, of Matthew Perry, the Friends star who played Chandler Bing. And he passed away Saturday. Definitely a shock to everybody. definitely was funny. I know I was just watching Fools Rush In, my favorite movie with him and Salma Hayek. Really shocking, really sad. He had a really rough go of things, fighting with, you know, drugs and things that affect depression. But, you know, rest in peace to him, as well as to the actor from Night Court that played Bull the Bailiff. You guys, he died as well, I think, the day after. So Richard Mole and Matthew Perry, you know, rest in peace. Bringing in our caller here. Hang on just a sec. Welcome to the On the Edge caller. You're on the air?
Yes, yes. My name is Nathan in Orlando. I'm listening to your show, and I if you got an email, I'll send you some stuff on a guy that if you were to have him on for an interview when you go through his stuff, on this cop issue. Here's I'll give you a brief example. This happened a long, long time ago. Back in 2010, I was trying to find out who I'm gonna vote for, and I'm calling. I don't vote for Republican or Democrat. I vote for citizen candidates. I got online, got a list of them. I'm going through it. I call this guy, and I'm asking him questions about all the issues, and he had no idea. And I asked him, why are you running for office? Then he told me his story. His son got bullied at school. The kid that bullied him was this big old muscle builder that was taking the wrestling team to the state finals here in Florida, and they had to airlift his child from Sebring to Tampa. You know, I mean, he was messed up. And the kid only got suspended for 1 week, and this changed his whole entire life, his family and everything. And he started pushing to try to get somebody, you know, something done. He's down and talking at the police department, and he finds out this kid's dad is a police detective, and next thing you know, he's a farmer. Somebody cut his fence, a cow got out. They came out, the sheriff came out, told him, I think this is your cow, and he goes, yeah. So he went, got the cow back in, fixed the fence, and a couple nights later, they showed up in the middle of the night, arrested him, because they had a law in Florida that was on the books before cars was existing. If you have your livestock gets out of your pen, you can be fined up to imprisonment. And they were trying to push the prison thing on him, and nobody had ever been charged with this law. It was, you know, when your cow got out or your horse got out, your hog got out, you know, the neighbors helped you get them back in. It was not like really, but anyway, they used this. He had to sell 20 acres of his land to fight it and beat it, and then he went to Tallahassee and lobbied a law, anti-bullying law, and it breaks his heart now because if you type in Shattered Dreams, Broken Patriot, and it come up on YouTube, I mean not YouTube, Amazon, you'll see the book, you'll see it. But if you can give me an email address, I can send you this guy's stuff so you can go through it. But his battle with the police still goes on. He's got a really rich neighbor that's trying to steal his land that put a fence across his yard, and then he got served with a trespass. And if you go back over there, you're going to be arrested. And this guy, he's lost his wife. He's lost two kids. And he's I think he's like 64, and they're still harassing him, and there is no police department there. There's no sheriff's department. But if you got an email, I'll send you this, and then you can consider, look at it, and then if you want to do an interview, I promise you it'll be one of the top interviews you ever do in your life.
What did you call the book?
Shattered Dreams, Broken Patriot. And just type that in, and Amazon will come up, and you'll read, you know, the thing on it. And here's every time, listen to this, every time we hear, like, in Fort Lauderdale and in Texas where there's a school shooting, this guy calls me up broken because he's saying the law that he lobbied would have gotten this guy to help him so that he wouldn't be doing this. It was,
okay.
You know, it was a law that when that part. My name, or his
name?
Yeah,
you could. Your name.
His name. The author of the book, is Bobby, but he spells it like a B. His dad spelled it like a girl's name, B-O-B-B-I-E.
I got it. Bobby Bean,
okay,
I got
Bean. Okay, and my name's Nathan in Orlando.
Nathan in Orlando. I have a show page
yeah.
email you can actually send any other information to for consideration of a show topic, because I'm just reading the summary of this thing, and it really is a mess.
Yeah.
The abuse of power for something that's supposed to keep our neighborhoods or our community safe is ridiculous. And, you know, I just reading this little bit that I was able to, yeah, I want to read it a little further. And it looks like something that would be a wonderful continuation of this. But to hear that alone, look, that's bullying by cops. That's bullying by people in power. That's not a great
thing. What I want to send you, and the first one, I titled it 8 minutes That Will Break Your Heart, and he's talking about the event in front of the school board, and then another one is and I can tell you this, and you can go find it. Carolyn Strong, I don't know which one's first, but Bobby Bean, Carolyn Strong full interview on YouTube. You go. It might be Bobby Bean or Carolyn Strong's name first. I don't know, but if you just type in Bobby Bean, a bunch of stuff will come up, and you'll see that interview. It's a 50-minute interview. This lady here, I was able to find her. She's in Chicago, and she deals with bullying in the school in Chicago, and she came down here to Florida to interview him. I got a couple other things. He's got a sign. Here, remember this one. Write it down. DirtyBlueLine.com. That's his website. His book, you know, if you read e-books on the, you know, I'm still one of the people that goes and buys a book. But you can read this book online, and it's on his site. You'll see it. And, matter of fact, whenever you click on his book and you open it up in the acknowledgments, he first thanks his dad, and then he mentions my name. He spells my name, my last name, wrong because I have a Y on the end of my E, and the governor has two B's, E's on the end of his name, Governor Huckabee. But the reason his editor told her that you know, helped him with the book, told me that, and here's what I did whenever I heard his story. I said, you know, this can't be real, not in America. So I got him interviews all over the country. I'm a nobody. I'm a truck driver by trade, but I just got on and I would type this this talk show host his information and ask him, would you have him on for an interview? And, you know, he's running for U.S. Senate. But, you know, they were more interested in his story, and it just read. But he's willing to let you read his book free because he doesn't want to make the money. He just wants people to hear. If you ever read this book, this is what I did. I bought a bunch of them and gave them to everybody I know that has kids, you know. But if you got an email, I've been looking on your page here, and I don't see one, a website. But
yeah,
I can send you some stuff.
Yeah. If you got a pen or a pencil and
I'm
some
ready.
Paper, okay. It's on the edge show@outlook.com.
Outlook.com. Got it. I'm gonna hang up and send it to you.
Okay.
Whenever I send it to you, if you want. After you look through and you're interested, I'll introduce you by email to him.
Okay. Make sure when you put in the subject, Nate, you put down Nate from your show so that I know it's you, okay?
Yes,
I get
yes,
a lot
I will
of
write
spam
that.
There. Okay?
I will
Nate,
do that.
Nate.
Okay, thank you, man. I appreciate, man, what you're doing. This is something that just stays under the radar, as you say, as far as news and issues we need to deal with. But that's... okay, I'm looking. I'm at your site. Yeah. Okay, on the edge@outlook.com.
No, sweetie, on the edge show. On the edge show.
Oh, show on the edge. Show.
On the edge show. One long word, but it's four words together. Okay.
Got it. I will, as soon as I hang up, I'll send it to you, and when you get a chance to go through it, I have no doubt you'll want to look into it and have them on your show, and it'll be a show that breaks people's hearts, but it gathers people that needs to hear this.
I appreciate you, joining my panel and listening in, Nate. And welcome to the show. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm gonna hang up and keep listening. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you. Goodbye.
Okay. Bye bye.
Oh God. Wait a minute. Shoot. I did the wrong thing. Hey, are you with me, Asia?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi. I'm sorry. Mohammed, I think you got dropped by mistake. Call back, darling. Trayvon, thanks for listening in. It's nice to know I got a new listener that called in, and thanks, Nate. That was wonderful. Actually, I was looking at a couple of things from this guy. I really want to read the rest of it because, like, just a little bit of his. Oh, I do want to say one thank you. Because Seattle, Washington, they're not playing with these drivers that are talking on their cell phone. So apparently, and let me see what date this report was put out. One second. Let me see. Well, this one isn't from 2015, and then there was another one. Oh, my God. What's the one I just did? That was like 2021. But they are cracking down like crazy on cell phone users while driving, okay? And something Muhammad said, Mo, call back. Something Muhammad said that made so much sense. Talk. What is the issue with speaking? What's the issue with speaking? What's the issue with getting off the road for 2 minutes? I look at these kids, like, it's like if they don't have their eyes glued to the screen of their cell phones, they die. You know, like, oh my God. Or their hands are shaking like there's something missing. Or they can't. I'm telling you, if we only knew back in the day that grounding them just meant take away their phones. All that messy talk, all that chicken head and all that stuff that they do, would be gone, that all it takes is for you to shut down their electronics. It's a sad thing. But these cops getting involved with that culture on duty, not a good thing. These politicians and the elected officials that we put in place, these community positions that are held in place so that they are held at a standard that helps us keep our community safe and civil, being just as bad as the people that we hired them to protect us from, that's not going to happen. Lawmakers that are sit there behind one side of the pencil saying we must implement this law because this law will protect and serve our great nation, and then turn around and be the nation's biggest lawbreaker, absolutely not. Things like this caller calling in to say another abuse of power to someone that stands up. And that's the other thing. They have these ideas that their badge exempts them from being held accountable. Yes, we know that the wheels of justice are slow when it comes to them. Yes, we know about the cover-ups in a lot of places. Yes, we know how they're not so fast to say certain things. And I want to make it very clear. I am not against the police department. I'm not. When it's done right, when they're real people that are really doing what they're supposed to do, who don't walk in with the mentality of I'm going to go bust a redneck today or I'm going to go do this. None of those things. I'm talking about people that think, like, what would I do if this was my child that was behind the wheel of a car that got hit by a drunk driver who was behind the wheel of a car? How would I feel if it was my grandson or my son that was a 7-year-old that was just walking across the street with my child or with my wife and got run over by somebody who's supposed to be working for one of the biggest law enforcement departments in the city? At some point, everything has to be important. At some point, if it's a crime, it's a crime. And if it's a crime, you're a cop. You're supposed to take care of that. at some point, we have to take the leniency away from some things. There's only so much to civilization that is supposed to be given to people that repeatedly take advantage of the graciousness and the privilege of having civilization on their side. You can't keep telling a person that has gone through their due process, that has been told, you're getting off with the warning. We're going to give you some grace and mercy. You're going to get off with the warning since you didn't do this before. Then they go back and they, ha-ha, that stupid judge, I had him melting at the back of my hand. Then they go out and they do it again and again and again until they do it so much that now half of the people who have nothing to do with this have been taken, precious lives like children. Asia, you want to weigh in on this in our last few minutes of the show?
You know, just to summarize, just I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying. There needs to be more things that need to be put in place as far as the aftermath of the officers or the officials, which we're just going to say officials. If anything, if they were to do something that they know is wrong, there needs to be more things put in place. We understand that, you know, things happen, accidents happen. I can understand to a degree. But for the ones that deliberately take advantage and, you know, do the things that they're not supposed to do and then go as far as creating an accident because of that, there needs to be more things done. And that goes for any official. Go either you're the mayor, you're a doctor. It doesn't matter what official that you are. There needs to be more things implemented in place other than just a slap on the wrist. Not even a slap on the wrist. I'm talking about in forms of, like, losing a shift or, you know, getting a desk appearance in a sense. There needs to be something else that needs to be done. We need to speak up more to try and be heard more. We're just talking now for conversation, but there needs to be more talk about it so that they know to be on their A-game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, now I have to take one final break for our sponsor. And yes, Marilyn, out there in Delaware, I am going to play the song you're asking me for from my sons, my clients, Untitled. And this was the birthday song that they wrote for me for October 4th. It was most special thing ever because we had just came out of a car accident. At the time, we didn't know if we were going to make it. It was pretty big. And this one is called Hold Our Hand, the birthday song for Mom. When we come back after a word from our sponsor, we're going to conclude the show with my lovely, amazing co-host, Miss Asia here. I want to thank Nathan out there in Orlando for listening in and for joining me and thinking that we were special enough to join in. Trayvon, Mohammed, you wonderful people. Christina, thank you. All of you, Allison, for the request. Same here with you, Miss Delaware, and I am going to play this out right now, and we will be back in about 3 minutes. Don't go away. Here's Hold Our Hand, a birthday song for Mom by Untitled, Mr. Cameron, Mr. Jarrett. Let's go.
Gave us love at our worst points. Yeah, you always gave us everything we asked for. When there was nothing there, nothing to hope for. No one can compare. You were always there to hold our hand, hold our hand. You were always there to hold our hand, hold our hand, hold our hand. You were always there to hold our hand. Whoa.
Always taught us to fight our demons. Always taught us to stand strong. Always taught us to keep believing. Always taught us to keep pushing on. You never let us fall down. You guided us through all darkness. Before we knew how to count, you always made sure we were breathing. You gave us a miracle, and that miracle is life. Yeah, we're forever grateful. No words can ever describe how much we love you and adore you. So many beautiful things through all of the awful. You stay hopeful, and that's all
yeah,
that we
you
see.
Always
yeah,
you always gave us love at our worst points. Yeah, you always gave us everything we asked for. When there was nothing there, nothing to hope for. No one can compare. You were always there to hold our hand, hold our hand. You were always there to hold our hand, hold our hand, hold our hand. You were always there to hold our hand. Yeah, you always gave us love at our worst points. Yeah, you always gave
everything we asked for. When there was nothing there, nothing to hope for. No one can compare, you were always there to hold our hand, hold our hand. You were always there to hold our hand, hold our hand, hold our hand. You were always there to hold our hand. Whoa.
Going through a lot, but you never let anything stop you. Even when you're dealing with the worst, you always let faith guide you. You never let pain defy you, no matter how big or small. I've seen you get through it all. You're an angel in disguise, always there when I need you the most. Yeah, chest pumped, head high, natural confidence, no need to boast. Single-handedly doing it all, no one compares, cause you were the GOAT. Devil trying to ruin your pride, you don't even worry, he's doing the most. You're a child of God, you give out your hand, you know that he'll keep you afloat. And I know that he'll keep you afloat, Ma, because we all know you're a great person. So this is our happy birthday to you. You know, we've been through a lot. You've been through a lot. We love
you. Yeah, you always gave us love at our worst point. Yeah, you always gave us everything we asked for. When there was nothing there, nothing to hope for. No one can compare. You were always there to hold our hand. Hold our hand. You were always there.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Okay, we're back, everybody. Thanks, Delaware, for requesting. We are down to our last few minutes. I want to thank you all again, once again, for joining us here, for taking this topic as seriously as we've put it out. And hopefully all of you who listen to the show understand that we do this to try to get some awareness in, and that you guys go take what we say, go back and think of a solution, and do what little step at a time you can in your own part of the world out there. Talking about it, letting people know that it's not acceptable for us to have people in place that we count on to save our safety, pretty much, to protect our space, and have that privilege and that honor given to them to be used and abused. Now, tomorrow's Halloween, just to let everybody, you know, remind everybody, it's not the same as it used to be anymore. But if you're going out there with your children, please be careful. Please check the candies. Please make sure that you remember this is a more advanced time and people are making things look like they're not open, but they really are. You know, certain things, if it's something strange that your children don't normally eat anything, get rid of it. Don't be bothered with it. And be careful going out there tomorrow with your children, because so many stupid things are happening now in a day that's supposed to be fun for kids. I want to thank you, Asia, for the things that you do out in your neck of the woods to be part of a younger generation that actually tries to keep afloat and do your part with your area. And thanks for joining me here. That's one. Any last words from you before we close out?
No, I pretty much said everything.
All right. Well, thank you very much for what you're doing, for your research. Thanks to Christina Vera that's out there, like I said, giving her Uber's customers, you know, something a little extra. Trayvon, for your support. Thank you all out there that's been emailing me the request and support for my son's group. I appreciate that. And to them, because they make their little contributions to a better community through their music and lyrics, using their experience as well. This is a very serious thing, ladies and gentlemen. We have to protect our safety. We have to protect our roads. We have to put these people accountable. We have to make sure that they understand that there's a whole world out there that does not accept, want, or need to be around people who don't respect rules of the road, the safety rules of the road in particular. So many things are happening. Car accidents are taking lives at an alarming rate. Distracting driving is even worse because it increases the already high numbers of crash deaths. And this is one of the biggest reasons for them, especially nowadays. So teach your kids, do lead by example. And until Wednesday night, everybody, with a whole brand new topic at 10 p.m., be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. God bless you, and we will see you back here on Wednesday. Thank you, and good night.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.